Welcome to Blue Collar BS, a podcast that busts the popular myth that we can't find good people, highlighting how the different generations of today, the boomers, Gen X, millennials, and Gen Z, are redefining work so that the industrial revolution that started in the U.S. stays in the U.S.
Welcome to back to the Blue Collar BS podcast. I am your co-host, Brad, along with my short bus driver,
Steve.
There you go. You were pre-show right before I came in on intro talking about the short bus on fire. So you're driving this bus and it's on fire. So
all right,
you make it rain, brother.
You know what's got me wound up lately?
I don't even want to go there.
I mean, you just got done
talking about not wearing pants, shoveling snow. So I have no idea.
Well, I mean, client after client, when we're talking goal setting, it just drives me nuts.
Goal setting?
Yeah. Drives me nuts. Goal setting doesn't drive me nuts.
Goal setting. Just be better. I don't know just what the problem
be,
is.
Just be better. I mean, it really, what's really got me going.
So just so you know, the show is going to air end of Q1. So let's keep that framework in mind as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Because
so most goals haven't even been set yet, so it's okay.
What do you mean goals haven't been set yet?
Because we had to wait and see what's going to happen in the first quarter.
Oh gosh, again another issue. Keep me wound up. Keep the little monkey with the cymbals going like this. Like yay, everything's not awesome. It's like insanity out here. So, riddle me this, Batman. Let's just hypothetically say we want to have a goal to increase sales. Just generically, I need more sales.
Weird. Okay.
Weird. All right. So let's say you're working with a client and you're like, I need more sales. Great. That's our number one goal. All right. Fantastic. And your sales team runs off and goes and, you know, doing their thing. Well, then let's just say we're a manufacturing company. Great. We've got to make more sales. Okay. I get that. Then you turn around to your team that's inside making the parts. And the goal that you set is great. We've got all these clients. We just have to ship parts nonstop now. I just want you to make them and ship them. Okay. Nothing wrong with that, right? So number one thing is
that'll create invoicing.
Yep, it creates invoicing and on time delivery. Perfect.
Well, maybe.
Perfect. No stipulations yet. No stipulations. These are just the goals. Okay. These are our goals.
Okay. So I'm gonna go. I want to increase top line revenue, which means I'm going to ship more parts all the time. Okay.
Yep. I'm shipping more parts all the time. But then you put a caveat on them. I want you to ship only the good parts, but you have to still increase what you've shipped out. And I don't really want to hear.
So are we making bad parts on a regular basis?
Oh, I mean, bad parts are a given, but I don't care. You need to ship the parts. I don't care. I don't want to hear about it. I want you to ship the parts. Like, this has got me so freaking wound up. It's like, why are we setting conflicting goals?
Oh, hold on. So I can only ship good parts, but
no, because I have to ship out so many parts a day.
We're not going to address how many good parts we make in a day.
I got just total volume of parts shipped. Doesn't matter. Just ship them. Doesn't matter. Ship
but
them.
Who's saying? Oh man, who's saying the parts are good or not?
Oh, it doesn't matter. I got to ship the parts.
So why do you think you're only going to ship good parts? That's what I'm saying. So if you put the caveat on it, we can only ship good
parts.
They're
not. And then,
why do you think only good parts are going to go out the door?
You're going to sit there and wonder why no parts are going out the door, because all you're doing is shipping bad parts because you didn't do the things you need to do. And really where it comes down to is you just took, at the end of the day, what I'm seeing is in this scenario, this hypothetical scenario is.
I will call it dumb fuckery. You can call it what you'd like.
Yeah, but essentially, your number one goal, I need to increase sales. I didn't need to increase the right sales. I just needed to increase sales. So your sales mm-hmm. team went out and brought you in more sales. Doesn't mean it's a right fit for you. Doesn't mean it's a, that, you know, all the.
So there were no gross margin targets. Nope. There were no nope. product mix targets. So
nope.
We, as you are well aware, we could increase revenue for almost anybody instantaneously by charging pennies for what is really worth dollars.
Correct.
And we could increase and go broke.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
We could do, you know, 4x what we did last year, but be bankrupt by the time we're done.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So how have you not been able to get them to see the light? Did you not like take a big hammer out, or what did you do?
I mean, the elephant's only right twice a day. So it's honestly, this is a mindset shift for people, because people have set a specific in their head. They're got it stuck. I need to hit a number. I need to hit this number. This number looks big. It looks sexy. It's like, this is where I want to track. Okay.
Does this owner have any?
It's hypothetical owner.
Do they have any, you know, car fetishes or ego fetishes with cars or clothes or watches or in the marketplace?
Nothing comes to mind.
Okay. Just curious.
Yeah. Nothing necessarily comes to mind.
Cause that would be that, you know, the vanity metric of top line revenue would mm-hmm. fit with the vanity of the other things that go along with correct. Quote unquote success.
Yes.
Right. Got a client right now that says, hey, I want to go from 2.2 to 2.5, 2.6 this year, modest increase. Like, what if we change the mix and you do the same volume and you make more money? What about if we think about that?
Mm-hmm.
He's like, what do you mean? I said, well, you had a bunch of stuff that was losers. They were dogs.
Mm-hmm.
They don't fit your core values. How about you go get more from the folks that you like doing work with and they like you versus trying to, so you can bring on a couple new customers here and there throughout mm-hmm. the year that will help. How about we just get rid of the shit that you don't need? And
Right.
And that was like having that conversation with other manufacturers, machine shop fabrication mm-hmm. houses that have the large yellow company in their facility all the time.
Yep.
It's like, oh, but they got so much volume. But you're not making any money on it.
Right.
Oh, we're making okay money. But you're not, because you got four fucking people sitting there managing the account all the time, doing all the overhead, all labor. Those four people are dedicated, and you're not including that $200,000 into your mm-hmm. into your equation. And it's like, mm-hmm. you could do so much better.
Yeah.
Because the yellow company doesn't want to move those parts any more than you want to lose them. So mm-hmm. charge appropriately.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it just blows my mind that when business owners get so stuck in a method that it's hurting them, and they, whether they want to realize it or not, right? It's almost their own ego getting in the way to say, nope, this is the direction I set, and that's the way I'm going to go. It's like, there are so many ways to pull this lever to make it easier to do what you want to achieve.
So did you weigh to wealth it for them or not?
Well, you're assuming this is a very
hypothetically speaking, did you weigh to wealth it for
them? Absolutely. But it comes down to, well, that's great, but then what is the other metric for this team then? Because I set this metric for this other team as this line item, what are they responsible for now?
How about keeping what you already have?
So here's the caveat, keeping what you already have. But what you're saying is, you keep what you have, are you unwilling to let go of the losers?
No, I'm just saying keep what you have that makes sense, right? Which comes down to mm-hmm. customer service, comes down to communication, comes down to, you know, making sure your open order reports mm-hmm. are done correctly, making sure you're communicating, mm-hmm. all those things along the way that keep your right. customers happy versus, because if you have a customer mm-hmm. that cares about communication is far more valuable than not, and making sure the data shows up on time, et cetera, and somebody else comes knocking on the door that says, oh, we can do that. We do everything mm-hmm. electronically, EDI. We don't have to have a fax. What? Okay, great. Maybe you need to, you gotta fight to keep your existing clients because there's somebody else on the other right. side looking for it. And if you have a leadership change at that customer, or your buyer moves on, or mm-hmm. your owner leaves, or whatever, you've not put yourself in a reasonable position to right. keep the work potentially, because you're moo-mooing that client, that customer, for mm-hmm. milking it for all it's worth, because you haven't done your job on the sales side, typically, for most manufacturers, to develop relationships throughout the organization where it's not a relationship between Bob and Jim, it's a relationship between your company and mm-hmm. our company.
Mm-hmm.
That should be his goal, her goal, their
hypothetically.
Goal. How do we make sure that we, hypothetically, it's not Bob, Jim, and Jan's mm-hmm. customers, it's the widget right. company customers. The goal this year is to ensure that we have widget customers, not those are Jim's customers, Bob's mm-hmm. customers, and Jan's customers.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That would be a huge yeah. opportunity, because at the end of the day, that will make your company far mm-hmm. more effective, far more valuable, and far more sticky to your customers.
Mm. Okay. All right.
And when they stick, they're willing to give you more because you're in there, because maybe you're talking to this manufacturer, maybe they're talking to the design engineer, and they're buying mm-hmm. them lunch and getting them lappers or whatever and getting the orders. But maybe there's the other design engineer, project engineer that's over that you haven't even started a relationship right. with.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe you go develop more relationships with people that are making decisions to provide you quote opportunities that right. you're not even seeing because you're so mm-hmm. narrowly focused.
Mm-hmm.
So I would suggest, you know, get rid of the customers that aren't making correct. You money. Understand why you're not making mm-hmm. money on them first, right? If it's a them problem or a you problem, and then try to get 1-2% more out of each customer with it being a combination of volume correct. And increase.
Correct.
Maybe. Not just a, hey, we're going to raise our prices because mm-hmm. we can. No, it needs to be a combination of like volume and
right.
more volume right. than anything else, right? New projects.
And, the other thing that needs to happen is kind of a re-level set of criteria for bringing in anybody new. Any new clients, right? We're not taking anybody.
You mean have a policy on what mm-hmm. we should be doing? Like just because the laser's empty, should I go get all the burn to shape work I can try to find?
Oh yeah, I mean it's empty. Why not?
And just watch it fail miserably because you're not a burn to shape organization. You're just not a fill the laser kind of guy. You're a whole.
But I got this young kid that's eager to learn, and you know what? I don't care what he does. Just get him or her over there. I don't care what they do. Just get them out of my face. You know, they're always on their phone. Let them go over there and play with right. it.
Oh, and they don't use any of the materials that nobody wants any of the materials we burn every day.
Right. Yeah. I mean, make that scrap pile big. Like they're learning. What? That mindset drives me nuts, by the way.
Really? I couldn't tell.
Oh, I just need to have somebody on hand to do my whim projects.
Whim.
Yeah, whatever I want on a whim.
Right, we're gonna, yeah. No, that's a.
It's a whole nother show. That,
yes, that's a whole show. Government work, a whole nother show. But,
mm-hmm. Yeah, government jobs. But yeah, so that it just blows my mind right now. Just the when I'm doing these strategic workshops, just how much current mindset is still stuck around creating quote unquote, these are words that I'm going to hypothetically heard from leaders. You know, well, I got to create some competition on the team. So you're going to create goals that compete with each other so that if one gets a really high mark, it actually hurts the other group. Like, that's okay. Well, I got to challenge them to think out of the box.
Oh, right? Bingo.
To think differently.
Bingo. Bingo. Out of the box. Bingo.
Right. Get a bingo card. Yeah. From our previous show. Yeah. I'm just, you know, and it's at the first time I've heard, like when I first heard that, my jaw hit the ground. Like, are you effing kidding me right now? Like, did you really just say that? And then they reiterated it. And then the rest of their team started echoing that.
Oh,
and
great.
I'm like, and we're here talking about why nobody's meeting their goals and we have a culture problem?
No, it's a goal problem. It's not a culture problem. Well, they're just not meeting their goals. It's not a culture. It's not the culture is not hitting your goals.
Yeah, they're just, you know, I need a new team. They're just not meeting their goals.
It's an excuse culture. It's a victim culture.
Right. You're personally setting your company up to fail when you're setting up competing goals with internally within each other. And that's what frustrates me.
There are ways to have competition among departments, but without it being a detriment to the organization.
Right. You know, I mean, I know we've talked about this so many times, whether on the show or off the show, right? But just examples of, I have to ship parts in inner department, right? And I don't care where the fallout is, but I just got to ship parts. I got to hit my time. And if they're out of spec, they're out of spec. I don't care. Well, who's at the end of the day, you got to ship compliant parts. Which of your departments?
Hot potato, not my problem. You got the potato, you get to fix it. Nope, that's not how it works.
Yeah. So, and especially when tolerance stack ups don't match, you know, it's like, anyways.
I was at a client this week and they've got it's not a good customer for them. Talking about some tolerance issues and part rejects and different things. And so I said, let's just pull the drawings. Let's just walk through the drawing. Let me just understand the drawing, how they have this thing drawn.
Help me understand.
Let's look at this drawing to understand what they're talking about. And so they've got a burn to shape plate that gets machined to weld on a shaft, a round shaft that.
Really? Round, not square?
Yeah. This is a round shaft. Yes. Fuck you.
Not a triangle?
however, it is called out to be machined after it's been attached to this weldment.
Okay. All right.
And it's an awkward shape, right? So what they want is they want to put it on you're going to take this part that fits hand, and they want to machine this whole tube. This whole tube has a diameter to it that they want. The shaft has a diameter on it and two stepped areas, but they want to machine the whole thing after it's welded.
Okay.
Across 60% of the part is welded. So how do you turn it when it's welded to this other part that you, how do you do that?
With a fixture.
yeah. I'm only gonna machine half of the, you know,
yeah,
half of one side, and I'm gonna have this step in there, and then they complain about some parallelism.
What?
To the component.
Weird.
So this machine shaft is datum A, and they want this other bore that's sitting down there that gets another shaft put through it, parallel within five. But the plates on the side that control that are perpendicular within 10. I'm like,
the part stack up already is out.
I'm like, this isn't going to stack up properly because there's nothing controlling A relative to the weldment anywhere. It's just Correct. A becomes A, and A could be off by 10 or 15 degrees, and that's fine according to the drawing. And it doesn't, it's like, this is just horrible. Get rid of them. Just get rid of them because they don't know how to GD&T. They don't know their drawings. On top of that, they have a mixture of fractional. They have fractional dimensions, two place and three place all over this drawing.
Yes. I love those drawings.
With a title block that says fractional, one plus or minus a 64th, two place plus or minus 10, three place plus or minus 5. Like,
oh, this is my favorite.
Like, this awesome. Guys. You have this drawing is just horrible. Absolutely horrible.
Reject it. Reject it. That's the thing when you're looking at just the dollar.
Parts were rejected because it's out. I'm like, okay, well, how'd they measure it? Did they put it on a CMM? Well, I don't know. They just said it's out by 25 thousandths. Mm-hmm. Okay. Does it matter? Does it really matter? Cause they've made hundreds of these parts before and they were never rejected.
And because somebody decided to measure, now it's an issue.
When we went, I remember back at my first start, probably year three or four at Bucyrus, on the dipper lips, we were going through and all of a sudden we had no failures on the casting for the dipper lip. No premature failures, no cracking, no breaking, no nothing. New quality person comes in and says, hey, we're gonna UT and X-ray all of our castings now.
Okay.
It was like a piece of styrofoam inside there with these massive holes everywhere.
Swiss cheese, right?
I'm like, and we spent, the foundry spent so much time, money, and energy. I'm like, what problem are we trying to solve? Mm-hmm. We've been doing this for 130 years. What problem are we really trying to solve here? If you check more, you'll find more.
Guaranteed. 100%. Yep.
So how did you resolve the conflicting goals?
Hypothetically, because this is a hypothetical situation.
Hypothetically, how would you resolve those conflicting goals between shipping out only good parts in order to make top line revenue, and then also having more sales?
Honestly, for this client, it actually came down to showing dollars and cents.
Hypothetically,
thank you. Hypothetically, for this hypothetical situation, it came down to showing dollars and cents of this, of the overall contracts won versus the dollars and cents that were spent to achieve shipment of defined quality. So when we, and then it also had we also had to take into account all the times that we had to meet to show this into account. So the total package to actually show, look, you're setting up conflicting goals that are actually hurting you personally as the owner, how it's impacting your personal bottom line. Are you okay with that? Because your take home as an owner is impacted.
And did the light bulb go off and go, huh?
The light bulb immediately, the jaw dropped.
Oh, not my backyard. I wouldn't do this to myself.
Oh, you did it to yourself. Just because you're being quote unquote cute to your employees of, I need to create some competition. Yeah, to your own pocketbook. Okay. And we're not talking just a couple Benjamins.
Yeah, there's probably some digits left of the comma.
Yeah. And when they started seeing that, they're like, and they turn, in this hypothetical situation, they turn to their team and they're like, why didn't you tell me? And you saw half the team throw their arms up going, we tried. You didn't listen. Because they weren't breaking it down in dollars and cents for what this, because that's how this person operated. You're like, for the love of Christmas, like, stop it.
Right. And so were they clear on what were the unconflicting opportunities then?
From a standpoint of how they revised how they set their goal.
Hypothetically, after we identified the cost.
It became a reset and balance of the owner recognizing, hey, if I get involved in setting these, I'm creating issues because ultimately the person didn't, they started to be smart enough to know what they didn't know. And they realized that they didn't understand when they set certain things, how it really impacted others. So now hypothetically, what changed is the team approach to goal setting versus a singular approach to, I want this.
Gotcha.
And when the cross-functional team had buy-in, in setting the goals and aligning with, okay, this makes sense. It doesn't compete with what we're doing. It actually aligns. Everybody started aligning on what they were achieving. And ultimately, you had a lot, because there were, I will say, for lack of a better word, the synergy between Division A and Division B and Division C, you were able to reduce costs. You were able to reduce time and money spent to achieve the goals. You actually had now have a larger return for your goal investment. Weird.
I know, isn't it? Got involved and it was there and it was collaborative versus just top. So did after the individual recused themselves, hypothetically, were they okay with the new goals?
Well, they recused themselves from the ultimate quote unquote mandate, which we labeled it as your mandate versus team aligned. Yes. They were still involved in the conversation, but they were comfortable enough with the team approval where they just had to say, I agree at the end. So full approval, full decision approval wasn't removed. It was more of a, all right, this is on the same line of what I see how this all works now, and I approve, versus the team going off and working in a vacuum and setting the goal and never telling the owner. So that's the other, you know, the pendulum swings really hard the other way.
Well, regardless of what was going to happen, if the owner goes out and sets those mandates versus goals, everybody's going to go do their own thing and come up with reasons as to, and document everything and every reason as to why the noise that the owner's likely going to create throughout the year prevented them from achieving the goal. The mandate, I should say, that was set, because they are going to look out. They're going to look for every opportunity to have the "I told you so" card versus "we did it" cards.
Yep, absolutely, absolutely.
So, well, hopefully let your blood stop boiling there, Mr. Doyle.
It does a little. Just have to say, get a little worked up about those things.
I see that. Well, you enjoy Super Bowl Sunday, watching stupid commercials and eating bad food and probably a bad football game, potentially. I know I'm rooting for the Seahawks. You're rooting for the Patriots. Mm-hmm. Tomato, tomato. It's like, okay. Only reason I want this Seattle win is just this Sam Darnold, here's the thing.
I mean, that is a phenomenal story from, we can make that for a future episode, honestly, on true leadership of a team and what the impact leaders and owners have on their teammates. And when people aren't in the right system, what that actually can look like. And when they put in the right system, what it looks like.
He was in the right system with the purple team. He was. He played very, very well. But they said, we're going to go with that Michigan guy.
Oh, you know, that's all right. That's different story.
And that didn't work out so well so far.
Well, I'm just going back to the green team.
I know.
Right? You know where I'm headed with that.
I know where you're going. Yes, anyways. I know exactly where you're going.
For a different show.
All right, sir. Have a awesome weekend and we'll talk soon.
All right. Sounds great.
Thanks. Later.
Thank you for listening to Blue Collar BS, brought to you by Vision Forward Business Solutions and Professional Business Coaching, Inc. If you'd like to learn more on today's topic, just reach out to Steve Doyle or myself, Brad Herta. Please like, share, rate, and review this show, as feedback is the only way we can get better. Let's keep blue collar businesses strong for generations to come.